while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
This morning, we're looking at the book of Revelation, and our main theme, as Sister Babs read, was taken from the first chapter. Media team, feel free to load the slides. Thank you. So if you go down one, yeah. So I'm sure many of us are familiar with this book of the Bible. It's the last one. And it really holds significance for us as believers. Very much holds to the truth that we profess. It's a prophetic book about his return. And I've had a bit of learning this week, actually, as I've prepared for, I learn every time, but I learned something new about Revelation and just about what scholars have been saying. So although many Christians believe that the book of Revelation was written by the Apostle John, some scholars actually believe that it could have been written by another John, which they call John of Patmos, also called John the Presbyter, who has been called an elder in the early church. And they think this because Revelation, as I'm sure many of us have read it, and if you haven't, I would really encourage you to do so, is different in style in the terms of the language that is used. It's very different from the rest of the Bible. And so for some Christian scholars, they've concluded that actually the Apostle John didn't write this book, because if we look at some of his other chapters, it's very different. However, it's important to note that the Bible itself doesn't mention John the Presbyter. He's a figure known through later ecclesiastical, thank you, sister, tradition and scholarship. The relationship between John the Presbyter and the Apostle John is not definitively known. And some traditions see them as two separate individuals, while others believe they are the same. So there's a lot of theology about this. But I have to say, having spent some time reading Revelation and just hearing from God, I do believe that this book was written by the Apostle John. And I'll go on to that as I go through this sermon. So, Revelation, the context. The Apostle John was exiled to Patmos in Greece. I've got some pictures, actually. And this was after, in the timeline, this was after the resurrection. And he went about proclaiming the good news of Christ. And Patmos at the time, it wasn't Greece as we know it now. Who likes Greece? I love Greece, yeah. Good weather, good food, good beaches, great people. It's a wonderful place. There was actually a time that I went 3 years in a row and people were like, it's a lot, this Greece. But it's a wonderful place. But in the New Testament times, this Greek island was a place for political criminals and prisoners, not holidaymakers. And John was exiled by the Roman government because of his faith in Christ, preaching the good news and his testimony of Christ. You see, Christians, as we know, faced persecution for refusing to worship the then emperor as a deity. And John's influential role in the early Christian community made him a target, leading to his banishment on this remote island. So in the pictures here, it's taken from a cave. It's called the Cave of the Apocalypse, which is the place that is believed to where John basically wrote Revelation. And yet, in this remote island, it was here that Jesus gave John visions, entrusting him with significant prophecies and messages to the then early churches of Asia Minor, visions and warnings concerning the end times and Jesus' return. And as Sister Babs said at the start, you know, this book is symbolic. You know, there are a number of elements of within the book of Revelation that use symbols such as animals, colours, numbers, like the number 7 is used a number of times. And this book serves as a timely reminder that Jesus is faithful to those he calls. I'd like to get our main scripture verse up again. In the PowerPoint where it's written, thank you. So Revelation verses 1-5. Oh, it's quite small. Okay, I will read. So Jesus is described as the faithful witness. And if you have your Bibles, church, feel free to open up to Revelation chapter 1, as we'll be looking at a lot of those scriptures. So Revelation 1, verses 4-5, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits before this throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus, the faithful witness. The Bible tells us that he is all-seeing and all-knowing. In the Old Testament, we hear of Hagar's story, and she refers to the God who sees me, Elroy, in Genesis 16. And I've really been reflecting as we draw close to the end of the year of 2025. And I have a few questions for us. Actually, I've got a lot of questions, but I'll start here first. Where has God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit been a faithful witness to you? And what does that look like in our day-to-day and in our circumstances? Got a slide here with some 2 pictures, mountains and valleys. I feel like for many of us, 2025, we didn't see this year coming. I mean, look, for some of us, we've been on the mountain, right? This year has been a mountain experience. We've had victories, we've had successes and breakthroughs, and we've really experienced God on the mountain. Some of us have even had unexpected blessings and promotions and really witnessing the overflow of favor that God gives. But for many of us, 2025 has been a season of trials, a season of testing, a season of pain. I feel like I'm among family, so I'm just going to be real for a minute. How would you describe your 2025 in a word or in a few words? Or perhaps there's an analogy. Analogy? No, I'm looking at you again, sister. Analogy? Analogy, that's it. For how you would describe this year.
Challenging.
Oh, was it rhetorical? Wasn't it? Yeah, okay. Challenging, yeah. So I thought about this, and I was trying not to go here, because I don't actually like this sport, but I just couldn't help but think about this. So Eliza May, if you go to the dark image, yeah, that one. Boxing ring. That's, for me, that's, you know, how I would think about 2025. And listen, I don't like boxing. I don't enjoy the sport. I mean, I have watched a few matches, I won't lie, but it's not something that I typically enjoy watching. And actually, I remembered that I used to do kickboxing when I was younger, whole other thing. But that's how I feel when I think about, well, that's the kind of like situation that I would describe 2025 as. Feels like it's just been one thing after another. You know, like when you watch a boxing match and there's like 2 contenders, and then like, you know, there's like a sudden hook, and then the opponent is like falling, and then everyone's like, whoa, like in slow motion, waiting to see what's going to happen, and then the referee's getting ready to go bam, bam, knockout, knockout, and then there's a so-called knockout. I feel like 2025 is a year that we just didn't see coming, we didn't prepare for, we didn't anticipate happening. I remember Pastor Deji, I think it was early October, saying that, oh, you know, we've had so much in 2025, and you know what, it's not even finished yet. And then shortly after that, we had Hurricane Melissa. Category 5 hurricane that moved across the Caribbean, causing destruction, devastation, and impacting so many of our loved ones. Some of us have been working in jobs and in situations that it's only by the grace of God that has kept us turning up each day. The grace of God is the only thing getting you from A to B to C. Some of us have really had to navigate situations that we didn't feel would impact us. And these situations have sometimes been challenging and at times overwhelming. Maybe it hasn't been directly affecting us, but we've had to carry the burden or challenge a loved one is facing. For many of us, we've had to sit down or lie down like the opponent on the boxing ring floor in the valley and speak to God in a different way, you know? We've had to be vulnerable before him and his children. And one of the things I've really learned this year is that vulnerability is a strength. Not only through my own experiences, but witnessing others. We've had seasons where we've had no other choice or option but to seek God and to wait on him. So back to Jesus, our faithful witness. How has he been faithful to you in 2025? You see, I do believe his plan for us is good. He tells us that no eye has seen and no ear has heard for what God has in store for those who love him, for those who have been called according to his purpose. If we are in Christ and we have accepted him, then that's us, church. And these circumstances that we didn't see or that we didn't pray for our 2025 are here live and direct. God is actually using for our good. It doesn't feel that way sometimes. And that's okay. We can take that to him. Sometimes we've been praying that prayer of lament in these seasons just to be still. And honestly, I do believe God is saying to some of us, myself included, that we just need to be still. We don't need to fix this. Do I have any other problem solvers in the building? We like to solve a problem. Give me lots of problems to solve. I mean, it's a gift, right? I do believe it's a gift. But we can't let it block us from God's plan and his purpose. There are some things that we're not called to fix. We're called to let him fix. Let's not try and fix it in our own strength. But more than that, church, I have to tell you, I believe there is a revival taking place in the spiritual realm. And our triune God is bringing forth believers who are equipped through the strengthening of their faith to boldly declare the word of God on platforms that they didn't believe they could be speaking on. Platforms we didn't see would be ours, and missions that we didn't see that we would be called to. God is taking us there. He's building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I believe he is stirring the hearts of his children to rise up, be bold, and walk in the calling that comes from God. He is propelling kingdom-principled business owners and kingdom-minded business individuals to rise up and walk to what they have been called to. God doesn't call the prepared. He equips the one he calls. Which takes me back to the Apostle John. I'm so encouraged and so in awe of our Lord and the fact that God chose the Apostle John and trusted him with his plan for his return. He trusted him with such magnificent prophecies about end times, with such vividness of vision and symbolism. The Apostle John was the author of, I think it was 5 New Testament books. And he was part of Jesus' inner circle, so he walked with Jesus. He was given the privilege of even witnessing Jesus' conversation with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. So he spent a lot of time with Jesus before the cross and resurrection, and he grew in his faith because of it. And I was reading about John, and, you know, I read in Mark chapter 9 that Jesus rebuked him. And John continued to kind of grow in his understanding and showing him humility and love. In the book of John, he describes himself as the one Jesus loved. And his epistles are, you know, filled with expressions of his deep love for those in his care. Jesus even trusted John to look after his mother, Mary, when he was on the cross. John 19, verses 25 to 27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Amen. John went on to boldly declare the good news of Christ despite opposition. Yes, I'll come back to you on that, Felix. Jesus trusted John with revelation. So I'd like you to consider this. What is God trusting you with? What is he revealing to you in your season? Whether you are on the mountain or in the valley, where is he leading you as part of his plan and his purpose for your life? Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." He is the eternal God. He is the beginning and the end, and it's all in his hands, including us, our story, our life, our times. We know his plan is perfect. It's the testimony of our faith. We know that God's plan is Jesus. Jesus is coming to the earth to redeem us, freeing us from our chains of sin and darkness and the chains of sin and death. He died and was resurrected and now intercedes for us. Faithful witness. Hallelujah. All we need to do is accept him. He said he will never leave nor forsake you, even to the end of time. And so, church, he is refining us. He is pruning us so that we are the example to the next generation, even inspiring them not to give up when the battle arises. He is giving us strength, renewed strength in our valleys, to be still and know that he is God. He is faithfully seeing and faithfully witnessing us respond and grow. He sees us. And even when we feel like it's too hard to get back up again, his desire is that we would remain faithful to him in all our ways. When the world offers distractions and the opportunity to stay in our comfort zones, we must instead pursue his word. Pursue his ways daily until we get back up again. And can confidently move in this season, still witnessing his witness to others, so that he continues to be forever faithful to us. It's okay to get overwhelmed. In our humanity, this can happen. But we need to not stay there and believe we have the victory in God. Which leads me on to, it will end in praise. We talked about this in notices, but yeah, it's our biannual worship evening at Pollard Hill Baptist Church. And who's excited? I'm excited. Woo! Hello! It's wonderful to see just the worship, but also how it blesses others in the community. And others who aren't maybe part of church. But it will end in praise. Breaking this down. When a season passes and the long-awaited prayer is answered, it will end in praise. It will end in praise to God, even if it doesn't pass in this lifetime. But it will end in praise because you've seen his steadfast hand of provision and peace to help you stand despite the circumstance. As the book of Revelation testifies, it will surely end in praise when Jesus returns. When he returns, if we are truly in Christ, we will be rejoicing and we will have eternal peace and rest. His word tells us that Christ will come to bring judgment and we will have to give an account of our faith and deeds. As believers, our salvation has already been settled by what Christ did on the cross. But we still have to give an account. I'm going to read from Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said this to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur." It will end in praise. The battles we face, those who rise up against us because of who we are in Christ, will face judgment, a different kind. Even those who went against Christ when he walked the earth as a man will see him when he returns in his glory. As we heard earlier in Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 7, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. Amen. It will end in praise. Many of us here are believers and we've been following Christ. But I'd also like to say, if you haven't accepted Christ in your life, be encouraged. There is nothing to lose, but everything to gain. So if you have questions and want to know more, please reach out to us. And if you're listening online, reach out to us. We want to see sinners saved. In conclusion, Advent starts next Sunday, and it's a time for us to be reflective in the waiting. It's a season of waiting, Advent, isn't it? A season of anticipation. It's both the celebration of Christ's first coming to in Bethlehem, sorry, as we prepare for Christmas. But it's also a hopeful expectation of his return, as we've been talking about this morning. And so in doing so, church, I encourage us all to spend time prayerfully asking the Lord to prepare you for what 2026 brings. But also thanking him for his faithfulness for 2025. He is indeed forever faithful, as our theme reminds us today. He is king and sovereign, and in the end, he will stand upon the earth. As we have all experienced, he is also a faithful friend, equipping us to serve in the kingdom in new ways. Brothers and sisters, let us not underestimate our calling. Let us not underestimate the things, the people that God is calling us to. In the wake of difficult situations, be encouraged. You are being pruned. So let us boast in our weakness, knowing that his steadfastness is present. Let us be joyful, not because of our victories when they come, but because of who he is. And because he is with us in this life and when we go on to glory in heaven, he is the faithful witness to us from now until the end of time and when he returns. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.